Pledge allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning and welcome to our monthly meeting. It's 9 a.m., Monday, October 10th. Do we have any public comment? If so, please walk up to the front and state your name and address, please.
Hi, Laura Schumate with Village of Elk Rapids. I just wanted to double check and see. I sent it to Shelley. Did you get a chance to send along the commission's report?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Wanted to make sure you guys got a chance to see that in digital form. It's a lot more impressive than when you print it out because it was a bunch of PowerPoint presentations. But all of the boards and commissions in the area, in addition to our commissions, but so we had the library board included too, gave reports a week and a half ago and just kind of updated us on what's been going on for the last year and what their a little hint at future goals, and it was really quite a nice thing. So I feel like I left you out because I didn't formally invite you to come to it, but it was a Saturday morning at 9 a.m., so I don't know. A lot of people weren't happy with that anyway, but I'll make sure that you guys get invited in the future. And in the meantime, you get the little digital recap, and appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll move on to the approval of the meeting agenda. I do need to make a change or an addition to item 15. I would like to also add Newman Law along with Barnum Law.
I'd like to make an addition that the amount we have to pay back to the county for that.
Okay.
What?
What number,
what
Mike?
What are you adding, Mike?
I'm 15. Because I believe that's part of that discussion, right?
Pardon me?
The Barnum Law is going to be the tax tribunal?
Yes, that's one of them, yes. Okay, is there any questions? Could we have them?
I move to approve the agenda as amended.
Support.
Support. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. All in favor signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Matt Soper is absent. Move on to the consent agenda. Is there anything that needs to be changed there? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to approve the consent agenda, all items.
Support. Is there any further discussion? Okay, we'll do a roll call vote, please.
Roll call. Halts?
Yes.
Szymanski?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes.
Boisbert, yes.
Motion passes. Matt Soper is absent. We'll move on. Elk Rapids School Superintendent Julie Brown. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Thanks.
Well, thank you. Will that give you more paper?
Sure, thank you.
Thank you for having me here this morning, and also, once again, thank you for your service to our township. You're very important to Elk Rapids Schools, as are all the townships, and I thank you for your time today. November 8th, lots is going on with the elections that are coming up, and two local proposals that our community will be looking at impact Elk Rapids Schools greatly. The first one is the non-homestead operating millage. State of law requires every school district in the state of Michigan to collect 18 mills on non-homestead properties. The 18 mills is the first part of the per pupil funding. Whatever isn't captured in that money, the state makes up to get our per pupil funding up to $9,700. Our original proposal, or sorry, our last proposal was approved by voters in 2013. It was 20 mills over 10 years. Now, the reason it was 20 mills is because of the Headley override. Even though we, the voters approved 20 mills, we cannot collect more than 18. But as you know, working in the township, when property taxes exceed the cost of, or cost of inflation, then millages roll back. So our millage now, as it currently stands, even though it was approved at 20 in 2013, is about 18.2 mills. We predict that in the summer of 2023, that will actually drop below the 18 mills, and we're projecting a 17.9% millage, or 9 mills to collect, which loses funding for us. So this proposal is being brought to you this year, and it's the same proposal of 20 mills, but it's only for 5 years. And it's only for 5 years because we just can't predict the volatility of the property taxes and the, sorry, I don't have a very good voice this morning, property taxes and rate of inflation. And the important thing to know about this millage proposal is that it won't change any current rates, never will go above 18, and it's on non-homestead properties only, which are vacation homes, second homes, vacant lands, businesses, and it goes through all of our operations. So one of the questions I've received is, what does this money go for specifically? Well, about 85% in any school district goes to pay staff. So this money actually supports our teachers, our parapros, our bus drivers, our superintendent, our administrators. And then it goes to books and heating and furnishing if we need it, and that kind of stuff. So it's just our operating money to keep us going. So that's the first proposal that we'll be asking voters to consider. The second proposal is actually not ours. It's on the second sheet. It's a regional special education millage. And the Northwest Education Services, which is formerly TBAISD, this is a millage that they've had for, I think, 21 years, and they've had a millage rate of 2. What's happened with the property rates is that the millage has now been rolled back, and they are looking at a decline in their funding. So they are asking voters to consider a 0.5 restoration millage, which would bring us back up to the 2.0 millage collection. This is a regional millage. It means every school district in the region benefits from it. Elk Rapids students specifically get about $630,000 of services through this regional millage. What that means to us is that we have special needs students who need services like maybe speech and language or occupational therapy. We're a small district, we can't employ those people. So because of this millage, the ISD employs the services, we ask them to come and help our students and support our student needs, and we are not charged for it. Without this millage, we'd be responsible for funding the needs of our special needs students, which we would do gladly, at a tune of about $600,000 a year. And just to put that in perspective, that's about the cost of 6 teachers. So to balance a budget of $600,000 that we would not get without this millage is pretty substantial for us. A question I received earlier was, well, that doesn't seem like very much in this big scope of our region. So it's not equal across each school district, it's equitable. So we have about 1,200 students in our school district. Other districts that have about 900 students or 2,000 students get more or less depending on the needs of their students. But it is pretty substantial to us. So both millages impact the operations of Elk Rapids schools, and I just wanted to make sure I got in front of the townships, talked to the community to make sure they knew what was coming, and I know you guys are going to get the questions. On the front page, I do have my number in my office, so if there are questions, certainly direct them to me. What I can't answer, I'll find the answers for, and we certainly don't want to burden you with the questions. But again, the 18 mills is never going to go above 18 mills. The 20 mills is to protect from the rollback. And we're required by law to collect it. If we don't collect it, we lose about 90% of our funding. Any questions?
Yes, I have a question.
Yes, I knew you did.
Could you just feel it?
I could. I was like, oh, he's got one.
So I took out my little absentee ballot this morning and read the proposal that you've got listed here in the wording.
Mm-hmm.
And the average guy standing in the booth or sitting at the kitchen table reading that, it says increased by 20 mills.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The language is clear right here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that meant to say that?
So we have to say it's an increase to 220 mils, what it probably should have said.
No, it says by.
Right. Our attorneys go over this. I can't answer that. I'll go find out. It is an increase, though, because we've rolled back to 18.2 mils. So as soon as you roll back to 18.2, we now ask for an increase. That's why the increase is in there. I don't know why it says by 20. Well, I don't know that.
I just wanted to point out that...
Yeah, that doesn't look
everybody
good.
Everybody in this room understands
yeah.
what you just said.
But yeah.
The guy reading the proposal
yeah.
who hasn't studied or is not aware of it. I mean, if you by 20 mils is going to solicit probably some no's.
Right. By 20 of what also, right? Like, we don't even know
mils.
Where...
It says increase by 20 mils.
Right. So there has to be something before that, and then you're going above 20, right?
A little late now, though.
It is, yeah.
It seems like some people are thinking it's 18 plus the 20.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which it is not.
38 mils.
But right.
Is how we read it when we were going
did you?
The,
yeah.
the proof yeah. ballots. And but, then after we resuscitated Mike.
thank you.
You know, he made some calls because we didn't even understand how that was written, and we were thinking that...
Mm-hmm.
There were three proposals on there. One was for the 18 mils, one was for the 20, and one was for the special education.
I think so, also in the proposal for the school, I think in the first line, it says they can only levy up to 18 by state law.
Yes.
Now, nobody's going to read that, because I can tell you, nobody reads their tax bill either.
Yeah.
The details on that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to miss that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and all they're going to see is that increase to 20, and they're going to go no.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I finally, I know how the Headley Amendment works and rolls back, but the average taxpayer's got no idea how that works.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I'm...
I was going to say, so it's good you're here.
So you're the first ones that have shown me that. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep. So I'll be going back to my attorneys today and finding out what the deal is. Right today, and that's why I'm trying to get in front of the townships, and we put some communication in the paper, and I will address that. I can't fix it now, unfortunately, but we can only collect 18. Even if we asked you to consider 500 mils, we can only collect 18. That's law. So hopefully we can spread the word. Hopefully we can spread the word. We're just asking for what we asked for in 2013. So
the other question I've had. And I'm sure you've had it as well. How does the student allotment figure into the operating millage? Because some folks think you're getting enough through the student allotment of whatever the number is, 7,500 or per person or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're wondering, the thoughts are, this is above that, so we thought the student allotment was enough to handle all of it. So how do you address that?
Mm-hmm. So this is the student allotment.
This is.
Okay. So this is 18 mils is the first chunk of that per pupil number. So this year it's $9,700.
Okay.
So we're required to collect that 18 mils. For our district, that's about 89% of our funding. So it's $9.6 million. The rest of it, the other 10%, the state puts on to make up the $9,700. So okay. This is our per pupil funding. Without it, we don't get that.
That other part comes from the, on your tax bill, it'll say SET tax,
yeah.
State education tax, that's 6 mils. So that's where that other piece that she's talking okay. about comes from.
Yeah, and really good question. This is our per pupil funding, and that changed in 1994, I think, that all districts have to collect 18 mils to try to get funding equitable across the state.
See, that'll make a big difference, because I think some folks are a little, they think it's two different parts.
Okay. So in my next letter to the newspaper, I better clarify some things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
In a hurry.
Yeah, yeah. Because the absentee ballots are out.
How many ballots have you collected so far?
Well, collected, not many, but we've sent out about 850
mm-hmm.
absentee ballots.
Mm-hmm.
So people have them in their hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've definitely got to yeah. try to correct that wording. Mm-hmm. Because people are going to read that.
Can I right. ask another question?
Sure.
Just because I don't understand. So the state is mandating 18 mils. You must collect 18 mils. And yet you have to put it on the ballot and hope that people approve that. What happens if people don't approve that because they got mixed up and confused at how it is?
Mm-hmm.
How can the state mandate something that, and this is silly coming from me because
we get state mandates all the time.
It's just a general question, right?
Yes, I understand how you handle it, yeah, so what happens then? If, why do you even have to put it on the ballot then if it's a state mandated thing?
Because part of the law for Proposal A said the district shall collect 18 mills and the voter shall approve it. So without voter approval, which I have to be careful using that word, we can't collect those mills, right? If we don't collect those mills, so thankfully we're doing this now, so we can go back, well, in May or June, I think they're playing with the election months now, we can go back and ask for it if we don't get it. But if you don't collect these 18 mills, we lose $9.6 million of funding. It's as simple as that.
I was also curious about how you can run it so early, because when we ran our millage for our roads, we had a time period, and this seems to be early. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you must be able to do it, but when I first looked at it, I'm thinking, in my mind, you had to wait until the year of the expiration to run it, but apparently, because, Bill, wasn't that what we had to wait for on the road millage, for the millage to actually expire?
You can do it, boy, without me re-looking it up. You can do it within a certain number of months.
Because I know we ran ours at the very earliest we could. But it just, I'm sure you can do it, but it is, because I don't think yours expires until next 23.
So the summer of 2023 is our last levy, and in that levy we expect to decline in funding because we'll be under 18 mills. So we put it on the proposal now. First of all, it'll save us about $40,000 because it's a general election. Secondly, if we can have the voters consider it and we can get our levies or our millage back up to 18 mills, we won't lose funding the summer summer levy. And if it doesn't pass in November, we can go back for it again in May or June, whichever day they switch. If it doesn't pass and we have to go past August, now we have a new millage. It's not just an increase, it's a new one. So different factors were taken into consideration.
Does anyone else have any questions? Well, thank you.
Those are some big questions.
For clearing up some questions.
Yeah, I apologize for the language. I'm not real happy about that. But I will take it back to the people I need to. Thank you.
Thanks,
Joe.
Thank you.
Elk Rapids Library. I see Tom Stephenson here.
Hello, everybody. As Lori said, we had a meeting last Saturday. Put on all the different organizations within the village. Put on a presentation. And so I am doing the same presentation for all the townships right now. So I wanted to update everybody on the library, current status of the library. I think Shelley gave you the PowerPoint on paper. So basically, this board is starting to really work together, well together, towards common goals. We call this, Nancy Wanch just taught us, it's called linear thinking. Come up with your goals, go after those goals, and every decision you make, to make sure that those goals, it doesn't affect those goals. So, and also use objective criteria. In other words, work with the facts. So this year's goals, we did a needs assessment. I'll get into that in a minute, which took a lot of time. We just started finishing that up to develop a new strategic plan for the library. We continue to update all the board policies, separate the payroll and bill paying. We had an issue with the auditor for several years. The auditor said, even though we're a small organization, the same person shouldn't be putting the money in, writing the checks, keeping track of it, and all. So we had to separate the powers. And it's typical of a small organization, so we've fixed that situation. Then also hire a new director. And the other thing, too, is we want to put the audit out for bid. It's just kind of common practice to do that. So as far as a community needs assessment, we hired Midwest Collaborative Services. This is on the next page. We ended up with over 460 survey responses, which is about 9% of the population. We had a good balance between the townships this time and also the village. So in addition to that, we asked questions on the survey. We had over 520 responses. People had comments during the first 20 questions. Then we went out and did a personal interviews, and community conversations. We did 43 personal interviews, and we had 5 community conversations. In other words, working with groups, since we had 29 participants. So we had the basic questions about, you know, what kind of community do you want to live in and why is that important to you? How different and how do you see things now? What might happen to create a change? What kind of change do you want to see? And thinking about the community you live in, what might happen to create the change you'd like to see in the community? And then finally, how might the library support those aspirations? Basically, what would you like to see out of Back Rapids and when it decides to grow up? So, as far as the needs assessment, the first thing that happened, we got the survey back from the townships. We got it on a Thursday night. One of the things, the comments was that people were not happy with the book selection. So Aaron Hill, who took over as interim, went in, talked to the staff, and said, we will maximize our budget. We weren't using our full budget, I come to find out, on books, to pick up books. So we started utilizing, he says, we're spending every dime that's been allocated by the board to purchase new books. That happened on a Friday morning. That woke up the staff real quick. And so then in the community engagement report, we started this report right here, and I'll discuss this in a second, because the aspirations of those living out in the township, they had certain aspirations that we need to address, apparently. So so what we're going to end up doing is, because we've hired a new director, we wanted to wait till she came on board to develop a new strategic plan. And so we will, the work committee will come together in December, and then we'll start putting together a new strategic plan based on the data that we received from everybody, including the townships. The next thing we have here, so our board's been busy this year. Julie and Liz, Nancy, they've been real busy this year, especially. We've had to update a lot of our policies that hadn't been touched. With all the controversy and everything going on, this really ties up a board, as you know. And a lot of, we are a policy board, we're not a managing board. So there's 30-some policies we have to constantly update. And a lot of the key policies, like the employee handbook, director evaluation, they haven't been touched since 2016. And normally they should be reviewed and updated about every 2 to 3 years. Emergency management policy. And then we started a new one, Library of Things policy. It's new at the board, and I'll get into that. And also the FOIA policy and internet use policy, and then circulation we're discussing right now. So this group, I got a hand off to Julie and Liz. They've been busy, so they've been really going at it and taking care of things. Liz has been taking over the finance committee, and she's actually helped separate the billing duties, updated our accounting reports, so now we have solid balance sheets. In the past, we had to do an auditor. It cost us over $17,000 for the audit, and a lot of that was just misinformation, confusion about how where the heifer fund was and where it wasn't. It would be transferred back and forth. And so now we put that on the balance sheet, decided where everything goes, so everybody can see we're nice and transparent about this. We'd have had that, we'd have probably saved the taxpayers, I don't know, $11,000 maybe. So, and then the capital, and of course we were very successful. We did the capital campaign auditor report. It was out in the Record Eagle. There was no money missing. It was just a matter of pieces were flying all over the place. And some of the information was handwritten. So that's been fixed, been put on the QuickBooks. Everything's been taken off of paper copies and balance sheets and put onto QuickBooks. So it's all under one sheet. And we will be putting the auditor out for bid, the audit report out for bid. It hasn't been, we haven't seen a bid in several years now. We're using this, we have no issues with the auditor, just the fact that we haven't put it out for bid after 3 or 4 years. It's kind of a common business practice. We've hired a new director. I'd like to thank our director, our selection committee led by Julia, Liz, Nancy Wanch, Julia out here, Camille Campbell. We had Aaron Hill and Char Gretel was on this committee, and also Diane Richter. We had 21 applicants, and Perry said we weren't going to get anybody because of all the controversy. We had 21 applicants. We shut it down 2 weeks early because if anybody's seen that little video that the chamber has, the place in between, that We had that little video they had. Anyway, we put that in with our application. We hired a professional firm, and we even had two international applications to come to Elk Rapids. So we have, we've hired Pam Williams. She's the new director. She will start this Thursday, and I will bring her before the board, and I will introduce her before the board. You're going to love her. So hang on. She's the past director from Frankfurt, Frankenmuth, and so she has been, she has an excellent record of collaboration. She sits on a lot of the local boards there in Frankenmuth. She gets out working with the community. And one of the programs I liked is she pushed is for the children. She's big on reading. She had 1,000 books before kindergarten, reading 1,000 books before kindergarten. So this is someone that pushes out the reading skills, STEM skills to the community. Not only the children, young children, but the teenagers and also the adults. So she's got a lot of experience. Erin Hill was our interim director. I can't say enough about Erin. I think he's really stepped up, and I think we found another community leader here. This young man has done quite well. So when you start thinking about technology or you're wanting somebody on a committee, I think Aaron's somebody to you can start to look at. He's coming on to his own. We hired Kay Buckner from Kalkaska Library System. I think we stole her, actually. And she's been fantastic. Our children's program has just blossomed. When Kate first came here in the spring of the year, she put on a reading program in the morning on Saturdays, and she had 12 kids show up, 10 or 12 kids. She was really disappointed. Staff said, oh, that's what we typically have. And so it's just a hang in there. Now we're typically seeing anywhere from 24 to 36 children, plus their parents coming in. One of the things we did find out, though, that Kate found out, is that the idea when on a reading program, you bring the young parents in, you teach, you read a couple books to the kids, it shows the parents what the kids like, how to read to them, and things like that. Then you walk into the library, go over to the book section, and then you check out a couple books and read to your child afterwards. This is how you get your 1,000 books. We didn't have any books. Our books were old, tattered, they hadn't been replaced, so Rotary gave her $1,000. She asked for a $1,000 grant right away. We gave her $1,000. She picked up 300 books. Now the parents and the children have new books like Frozen and things like that. Then we had, so that's been doing really well. The upstairs, we've, a long time ago, when the past director came in, she took the room in behind the children. She turned that, took the children and put them downstairs into the basement, into the community room, and they overtook them at what was the community room upstairs and became that became the employees' lunchroom. Immediately the staff switched, so now the upstairs with all the windows is now for the children's. It's what we call the maker room for crafts, and so that's been taking off. We started the Library of Things. Library, we had a grant. There's lots of grants out there. We've been going after every dollar we can get our hands on to, as long as we don't drive up our additional costs to operational costs. So the Library of Things, so now you can walk in, and just like some of the other libraries, you can check out. One of the most popular things is a little 14-inch electric chainsaw. If you want a fishing pole to take your children out to the pond down there to fish, we have that. If you want to go play pickleball on the courts, we got some pickleball rackets. And there's also a metal detector. And that's been really popular lately. Everybody's using a metal detector. So you can check out a hand drill or something like that if you want, because now people are crafting at home to see if this is what you want. So this is something we have downstairs. And then we've also increased our hotspots. Internet out in the rural areas is really poor. We had 5 hotspots, but with all the government funding for e-connectivity, there's a lot of funds out there. We now have 20 hotspots. 18 are checked out at any one time right now. So you can check them out for 2 weeks at a time. The other one we have one dedicated to Munson. And when you come out of surgery, working with Munson, we beta-sited it. When you come out of surgery, they like to put a monitor in your home for the first couple weeks, so to see if there's any issues. And a lot of times when they put a monitor in, it eliminates 20% of the readmissions back to the hospital for surgery. So we have one dedicated for Munson. They've used it a couple times, and now other libraries are doing the same thing. We now have 5 Chromebooks for people to check out for a couple weeks. We're replacing the desktops with laptops so they can go out onto the porch and work. For Wi-Fi, we've had over 2,500 unique clients, and we burn through 6.7 terabits of data, which is a lot. This is how much the internet is being used at the library. And so you might have heard about the fiber running up and down the highway, and we should have a quote today or tomorrow to hook up the library. I think that fiber will cut our cost. I know it will cut the cost here. So we'll actually be able to increase our speeds. And then one of the things we've done, too, is on the books we had the New York Times bestsellers list. We brought that in. A lot of folks were complaining we never get the latest and greatest books. We did find out, though, through Melcat, other libraries were intercepting it before it got to Elk Rapids, so we had to put a filter on it because they're in such demand. So we just finally put a filter on that. Now you can get a cup of coffee at the library, making it a lot more welcoming. We put a Keurig machine in there. And the big thing we've done here recently is a student ID card. We want to promote our teenagers to take on more reading skills. There's an issue at the middle school because of construction, and their library is shut down, so we are now going to be this year's library for the, and they'll be able to check out books. We'll make at least one run a year working with Julie. There's a lot of legal issues here to hammer out, but we're putting this together, and I think the board has moved quickly on this.
Be careful of
lawyers. Yeah, oh, I know. So finally, library usage, the charts towards the end. Because of our books and the children, we have more attraction. You can see the little blue chart where it says library usage on the left-hand side, the circulation. You can see is typically in the summertime, things drop off. Because we've had so much demand, the locals have found out we've got books, so now the circulation has actually risen. And the foot traffic through, because the library is now full of kids. And so children in the library, and I've been told I got too many teddy bears on the in my library right now. So, but anyway, that's the foot traffic is still up. You can see it's peaking. So the taxpayers are getting their money out of the use out of this library. And in the final chart, the data usage, a couple years ago I asked Aaron to start collecting the data and put it on bar charts. It's easier to see those nice color bar charts instead of just gobs of numbers on paper. So the last thing I did is I handed this out to community engagement report. The board and the committee will start working on it, but it's 14 pages about the aspirations of the community, and a lot of things are being brought up in this here, like the townships. They want to see more activity from the library out in the townships, and some of the ideas like a bookmobile and things like that are coming up. So that is a lot of good things are happening. So any questions?
That's excellent.
Very good.
I'd just like to thank you, Tom, for the great job you've done over the last year. As you can see, I'm no longer on the agenda. I don't have to report on the library, and Dorrance doesn't have any questions to ask me.
Yeah, we had...
it's a win-win.
We're back to what we were asked to do. We want to just have just a boring old library meeting. And
can
so
give
we're...
applause, please?
Yes. Thank you. We had one person attend the last board meeting. We had no more pay. Used to, when they started, we had 30, 40 people in there. Had record eagle, 9 and 10, 7 and 4. And so now we're lucky if one person shows up for public comment. The one showed up to thank the director selection committee for picking such a nice candidate. And then she left. So it was totally empty. So this is where we're at. And so I think that good things are going to happen. So thank
good
you.
Job.
Tom, I got to ask you a question because it goes way back in history because I can remember this. You mentioned bookmobile.
Yeah.
What does a bookmobile look like in today's world?
I don't know. That's a good question, how that's going to happen. And I think I thought the idea, like at the school, like drop boxes and things like that. So we don't know what a bookmobile is going to look like. But I did already have a couple of people say they wanted to fund one, so really? Donation. So, yeah.
It's the like, old ones were like the traveling food trucks.
But, yeah.
You know, you
yeah.
have your books and all the stuff. I'm just curious if there's going to be technology in it and all this type of thing.
Well, you typically, from what I understand, there is a lot of technology on it so that there's a mobile device to where, but the technology's kind of limited. I mean, you'd have to park the bookmobile with a Wi-Fi with an antenna on it so they can access it for a while, access the internet, but it'd just be such a temporary thing, so.
I didn't think we'd ever hear that coming back again.
I know, it's like, this, but this is what the people in the township asked for. They want to see more attention, and I think with this new library director, I think you're going to see her reaching out and spending more time out in the community and also attracting them, so bringing those people back, especially the young children, because that's where they live. So they can't afford to live in the village anymore, so they got to, they're living out in the township. So anyway, very good.
Interesting. Thank you, Tom. We'll move on to Sheriff and Commissioner report. I don't see either one here. I see our next commissioner, but would you like to say anything, Bill?
Bill, it's Lawrence Banks. Bill Heffron, 101-61 East Elk Lake Drive. Hoping to become your county commissioner effective January. I'll be on the ballot, obviously. I'll be the only one on the ballot in November. Just wanted to point out, I will head over to Bel Air tomorrow. Budget meetings for 2023 are starting. So the current commissioners are going to be making decisions what to do with your money for next year. Budget's approximately $14.5 million. The requests from the departments are about $1 million over that. So I did get the budget book from the Brad Rizzo, who's the county finance director, last week. Had a nice talk with Brad. So I'll be there at the encouragement, obviously, of our current commissioners, that I at least be in the room, even though I don't have any say at this point. So obviously, I also be intend to soon sit down with Terry and Jarris and Don, Jason, the other commissioners who we expect will be there in January. Because what I think I tried to tell everybody was my history with the county. I certainly will be ready to represent us on January 2nd. So.
When will, I know Pete's retiring, will you be part of the hiring for the new selection?
I'm watching that closely. They just closed the application process. Pete's retiring December 16th. They just closed the applications, accepting applications for administrator, I want to say last week. They've set up a committee to review those of current Board of Commissioners. I'm watching it closely. I hope, frankly, in an ideal world, Pete might have hung on until January so the new board of five folks could make a decision on who our next administrator is. That's what I'm hopeful of, that they may delay things. Jeremy Scott's the deputy administrator with the county. Many of you know him. Fantastic guy. He's more than capable of managing things, I think, between December 16th and January. But we'll see what the current board does.
Any other questions for Bill?
All right. Thank you very
much. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
We have our incident report for September. 10 911 checks. 7 driver complaints. 2 marine stops. 6 medical calls. 3 paper service. 20 traffic stops. 1 tree down. Total of 62 for the month of September. We'll move on to ambulance department report. Mike?
For the month of September, there were a total of 21 calls. There were 4 in the township and 17 in the village. And of those 21, there was 12 transports.
Is there any further questions on that? If not, we'll move on. Fire Department, Chief Williamson.
Good morning, Ken Williamson, Fire Chief. We were dispatched to 11 incidents in September, pretty normal number of runs. Nothing really out of the ordinary, pretty much, pretty common stuff, so some trees down, wires down, and some EMS calls. We're hanging in there with 19 staff members still. We're happy about that. We've been talking for several months now about this Michigan Mutual Aid Agreement. I think 90% of the townships in Antrim County are on board. Our neighbor to the east is the one holding out still, and we've been talking quite a bit, and I think he's gonna join. So I anticipate next month we'll be asking you guys to sign that agreement. So, as you can see, parking lot got done and striping's done, and I know Shelley mentioned something about maybe some grant monies available to help offset those costs. So I'm not sure where we are on that, but that might help us there. And I don't know, Mike, did we get an updated bill from Elmer's?
Elmer's called today wanting our sales tax certificate. They're going to reissue the bill without the sales tax. That's okay. Exactly what we quoted us.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Good.
So we should be fine with them.
Okay.
So that is a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Very pleasant.
Yeah, definitely. I expected somewhat of an increase from the time that we did that to the time it got completed. So. We did get our mobile data terminal from Antrim County, finally, and that has been installed in Engine 2 there. It's basically got the same thing that the tablet has in Engine 1, which is our pre-plans and also has our dispatch information. It draws a map to the calls. It sees who calls responding. It's a pretty nice little tool to have in the cab there. We participated in the Fall Festival downtown. We had a pretty good turnout for that. Fire Prevention Week is this week, actually, and we're scheduled over at the schools to do our annual program that we put on there on Thursday, so we'll be over there most of the day on Thursday. Then the truck committee, Shelley, I think sent you guys all a link that you could look at this truck that we're considering. We're considering downsizing our heavy rescue to a light rescue. I don't know if you've had a chance or any of you guys can follow this link as well and look at the truck we're proposing. Not quite as big as our current truck, but we feel that it has the capacity to do what we need it to do. And the only thing we think it won't handle is some of the blocking that we currently have on the rescue truck, most of which we have never used in the 30 plus years I have been on the department. So I really don't think we're going to lose anything by downsizing the size of the truck a little bit. That truck's going to be available fairly in the spring, we believe, and he's going to get me some updated pricing and information. This truck's going to cost considerably less than what we were originally planning on going with the heavy duty and then repurposing the box, which we didn't even really know what we were kind of quagmire we were going to get into there. So what we'd like to do at the same time is upgrade our extrication equipment. And I got that information for you there too, to the battery operated stuff, which everybody's using now, which is much, much easier to work with, much more portable. And the company will give us a trade-in on our old equipment. So I'd like you guys to consider that too. So that's all I really have. Like I said, there's a link to the truck there if you guys are interested to see what that looks like.
The estimate of the 45K, is that the truck or the equipment?
That's the 41 is the extrication equipment.
Okay.
And then the truck's about 260. So,
okay.
And then we can, we'll have the option of selling or trading in the old truck and also selling and or trading in the old extrication equipment, which will bring that down substantially. So.
Is that an estimated trade-in price?
I don't have a trade. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
I would say if they would do that, I would probably do that.
Yeah. He says there's a lot of people looking for that truck. It's got no miles on it. It doesn't have the DEF requirements. So it's a low hours.
It's a good price,
yeah.
In my opinion.
So we're working on that.
Is the new truck actually physically available?
Yes. They have 6 reserved for next year. So that they can build, and so yeah.
When do you have
it's the 550 platform, and we're probably going to go with the Ram, not the Ford. It did have a bit, it's about the same price, and it has a much bigger back seat.
Okay, but you, we're on the waiting list.
Yes, yep.
Perfect, okay.
Good, that's all I have.
Any questions for Ken?
As long as it's okay with you guys that we proceed, you know, to be on the waiting list.
Sure.
So ran it by the fire board, they were okay with it, and...
Just as long as you're comfortable with the sizing of it and everything as far as going forward, because these types of investments are long-term investments.
For sure. And it's nice, it's smaller, it's four-wheel drive. It'll get a lot of places that this truck won't, you know, especially in the winter and some of these long, tight driveways we have now and stuff.
And this firm is located where?
Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids.
So, yep, pretty close. Granville, I think it is. Yep.
Okay. Well, that's handier.
That's really nice. You know, not having to take the truck to Iowa or Wisconsin to get work done.
Okay. Anything else? Thanks, Ken.
Yep.
We'll move on. Number 10, new private road. Go Pines. I spoke with Larry Nix, and we're still waiting on confirmation from the engineers on the road status. It is in, and to our knowledge, I think it's pretty much up to spec, but we're waiting on Larry to get a letter of certification so that he can move on with the finalization of the permit. So I asked to table it again until next month. Board okay with that?
Yep.
Yes.
We should have a motion, probably.
Motion to table?
I would think so, yes.
I move to table the Etobicoke Pines Road until the next meeting in November.
Support.
Okay, we have support. Is there any further discussion? I know the owner is wanting this resolved, but I don't want to step on Larry's feet on this one. This one's been in process for 18 months or better. And is that correct, Bill?
Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
So I don't think we should move until Larry tells us to. So that's where I'm coming from.
Who's the engineer that's going to certify it?
Performance engineering.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Matt Soper's absent. Maple Grove Cemetery Sexton. Shelley, you've got an update for us.
Yes, we did advertise for a sexton for Maple Grove, and luckily we got four letters of interest. So I would like to go through those with another board member and discuss the possibilities, and then bring it back to the next board for decision. I don't know if the whole board decides on that, or...
I think we'll just make a recommendation. I would say approve it, kind of like our appointees for, unless the board feels otherwise, but.
Okay. So, yep, I have four letters of interest that I'm excited about. Last time we advertised, we didn't get anything.
Anyone.
Yeah. So, and it's going to be very important that we do this, you know, with our millage on the ballot again, and hopefully that'll go somewhere, but we just need someone to be able to pay good attention out there, so.
Basically, what you're looking for is someone to look after the burials and kind of keep an eye on the properties in its entirety.
Right. We contract with the company for the burials. We contract with lawn maintenance crew. We deal with the funeral homes all the time. We flag spaces for burials, all of that kind of stuff. So someone to coordinate the companies we already work with, and someone to be available for flagging and to attend burials and documentation, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I know we're hoping that if this millage would pass, you know, we have some points in the millage where, you know, we're going to be working on mapping and reconciliation of all records, so we've got a little better background to work from, because we've got books that are older than all of us in this room with information that is fairly accurate but not perfect. You know, we need to get an irrigation system installation, land leveling, and cemetery, we've removed some of the trees, but we need to, there's still broken trees, dead trees, and we need to kind of clean up. This gentleman could be taking part of all, or person, could be taking part of all this instead of Shelley running out there as we get a call. Obviously, everyone knows we have water issues, so we're hoping if this millage passes, we can upgrade that. So if the millage does pass, we're hoping that there'll be quite a bit to do out there with all the work that needs to be done to bring the cemetery back up to what we'd like to see it at. So I think who you look at hiring is going to be important if we're successful to kind of get this whole project going. So it could turn into be a little more than what we anticipated at this time. So that's, I just make the board aware. We'll know, of course, in November how we'll fare, but at the bare minimum, we do need someone out there kind of reviewing the site. Is there anything you'd like to add?
No, that's good. I was just, as I'm making my notes, I see we skipped a bunch of...
Oh, yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
Sorry. So that's, is anybody else got anything else on the cemetery? Okay, we'll move back to number 11, Township Sewer. Performance Engineering has presented us with our monthly bills or the draw. The total's $156,082.35. $124,499.75 goes to Matt's Underground, who's doing the work. Performance Engineering has a draw of $31,375.60. Varnum Law is $132. Derman Law is $75 for the total of $156,082.35. We are on track from what we've been told. We are running across the final leg, which is going across the our main line coming from the what we call the Sportsman's Club line to connect into the Birch Lake line right now. Hopefully they'll be done with that bore somewhere in the middle of next week, maybe the end of next week. Then we'll have the connection and the tie-in. And then what I'm being told is hopefully by first part of November or before we can pressurize the system and test it. And then I'm assuming in November we could start doing hookups if everything goes as planned. There's not been really too many delays, and we have been able to obtain all the materials. They had to jockey around a little bit because some of the materials weren't available, so they did other parts of the bore, which is the pipe. And actually, the biggest comments I've had back on the sewer project is they can't believe how small the pipe is. You know, it's only 6-inch main, and I think most of the folks were envisioning 12 to 18-inch mains, so that's been a story to tell because they're wondering how all of this is going to flow. So pressurized versus gravity makes a big difference. So I guess I would entertain a motion to pay these bills.
I move to pay the construction bills totaling $156,082.35.
Support. Is there any other questions?
Do you know what the percentage of completion is? Anybody? They didn't tell us that. He didn't tell us that in the email.
I really don't. I know that, like I said, the last bore is over 3,000 feet, and I know we're over half. But all of Karen Highway bore or pipeline is done, completed, all the tie-ins. Spirea is done.
So the gross contract, he's got to be 50% or more.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, with exception to they've got to do the ties for each individual. You know, the ties in, if you're going to...
The service lines.
Service lines, yeah. If you're going to put that into it. Matt's commitment on the bid, I believe he's well over 50% done.
Okay, only question I have.
Mike, any questions?
No.
Shelley?
No.
We'll do a roll call vote, please.
Roll call. Shemansky.
Yes.
Amos.
Yes.
Koisberg, yes. Halt.
Yes.
And Matt Soper is absent. Okay, we'll move back to 14, Charter Communications, Video Franchise Renewal.
Starts is having a rough day.
Yeah, thank you. Getting you back on track. Yes, Antrim County Road Commission noticed that East Harbor Drive property owners, the road will be closed down on October 12th for a main pipe or drainage ditch removal. It should be started at 8 a.m. on October 12th, but I think all the residents have been, they were sent a letter from Bert Thompson, the county road commissioner, that they won't be able to come in or out of their area for that day. They believe that they can get the pipe in. The road is kind of caving in over the waterway that comes from Birch Lake. So October 12th should be a completion date where they can get back in by evening. He's hoping to have it reopened by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I will be taking my ride around with Bert the first couple of weeks of November to look at all the roads and figure out what we're going to do for our 2022-23 road projects. Is there any questions on road commission? And I know Mike just finalized payment to him for our work in 22. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, we'll move on. I will skip Maple Grove Cemetery again. Now back to Charter Communications, video franchise. Tom's had me thinking about this, watching him out there. He'd probably have some comments, so distracted me. Mike?
I handed you everybody a little breakdown sheet. It's not in the packet, I just left it in
here. No, I just threw it in my pile.
It's in your pile of papers around here. There you go. Okay, let's go. First thing is current. Currently, the village has a franchise fees of 5%. The township right now is zero. And it's renewable every 10 years. That's why it's coming up to the township. It is based, the fee will be based on the residents only. So the village portion of their 5% money that they collect is only based on the people in the village. We, for us, it would be the township people only. Now for like Shelley and we will not get charged double because we are in the village. This is only for the township residents outside of the village. And it's only based on the TV and video services only. The charge can be from 0 to 5% based on the contract. And the average fee or the average percentage that I got from the gal from Charter is that it's 3%. That's the average. Now, her example is, it's based on, if we had 270 users times 1%, we would get $270 a month. And the payment is made to the township every quarter. So if you village residents, if you look on your page 2 of your bill, which nobody goes into detail where it says franchise fees, my franchise fees at my house is $7.32 a month. So if the village collects, since it's the max of 5%, the village, based on the number of users, times $7, and how many households we got in the village, I'll let you figure out in your mind what it comes out to be. But I will bet you, and I did some checking, the village gets about 10 grand a quarter. Times 4 is $40,000 in their budget that they can use any way they want. So with that left, in your mind, and you know that we operate on 0.96 something, where the village operates on 12.3, I think this should be a pretty good, easy decision on what you guys want to do. So it's up to the board. It's either we go from 0 to 5, take the average of 3. We don't know how many users it is because she hasn't gotten that. She'd have to go through all the records. So that's that.
So what's your recommendation, Mike?
What's my recommendation? It's up to the board. I mean, we can go 3. We can go 5.
Or we could stay at 0.
We could stay at 0. That's correct. So what does the board want to do? I probably would have to have a motion to either.
Am I hearing you wanting to make a motion to add the franchise fee?
Yeah. And a percentage.
Okay.
Well, it's
okay,
up
that's the first step. What's the percentage, Mike?
I was trying to pin him on that, but he won't.
Well, I don't know how many users we have. She wouldn't tell me. Because it's only based on the TV and the video. It's not based on your internet or your other stuff. So.
Excuse me, Mike. Tom, do you have any input or any knowledge of what we're doing here as far as,
yeah,
I know you're in.
That's typical of video, a lot of villages and townships. I'm surprised you're getting 0. So you're not going after it. Most townships take on the franchise fees for the general funds.
That's correct. And our general fund is at point, right, at point.
In Charter, according to that venture, down south of town there in his area, I know Charter engineers are looking at that area expanding out. So they're going to wait for the state funding coming up to get it subsidized, but they're actually looking, I think they're actually designing up the system. From what I'm hearing, so you're going to see expansion into the township by chart. So, like I said, I'm surprised you got your 0. So
is
all
I.
The townships are.
After I read the back of my cable bill and all the detailed charges, what it was, and then it came up with that $7.32 a month, and I looked at then when we got our renewal and it said 0.
And the other thing, too, just as a side note, the federal government, when they accept this funding coming through, they're going to have to be a little bit more explicit and transparent about all their fees, put a little bit easier to read. So, kind of truth in consumer labeling. So,
they probably think they are when you look at your detail bill. Everything is detailed out.
It's always been marked. I don't know of any township that charges 0, okay?
Yeah,
and most of them I know charge 5.
We got one now that charges
most of them
0.
Charge the max, so
right.
Yeah.
That's
why is the internet excluded?
They don't. Congress.
Okay.
That's my best explanation.
I can't.
It's just they do just strictly fiber, and all they do is you can stream now. Then. Totally excluded, just like cell
phone service, the internet on the cell phone service. They got some great options. Well, then, Mike, why don't you make a motion?
I'm the treasurer. I can't make a motion to this. I'm just giving you the facts. What does the board want? Shelly, what do you think? What percentage? I'd be like Dorrance. I'll go.
Well, I'll break the ice. I'm good at 5.
Shelley, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I understand that we do need money for the general fund, but we're not doing anything to generate this money. I mean, we're not. What's the word I'm looking for? It's a franchise fee, but we're not paying any money out for them to provide cable to township people. So I just feel hesitant to add something more to the taxes for something that we're not getting a benefit from either way.
It's not a tax.
It's not a tax, no.
No.
The village doesn't do anything either.
It's not a tax, but it will be, because it'll be on our tax bill.
No. It's on your cable bill.
It's on the charter bill.
It's on your charter bill. It will not appear on your tax.
It's a user tax.
It's page two of your charter bill.
Right now, it sounds like people don't have it under bill.
No, under user bill.
Right. And like I said, it's not going to hit the village portion twice. It's only people outside the village.
The argument would be it's not fair. The village people are paying the township party.
Yeah, I hate to be left out. I hate to be the only one that nobody's ever heard of not collecting the money that we desperately need. I'm in for five.
You're in for five? I would go with, you know, whatever the board decides, but I would go with five. Knowing that our general fund is 0.9, you know, we can't raise the millage or anything like that.
You use it toward your cemetery.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. No, now that I understand it better, that it's strictly on their bill coming to us. So anybody that doesn't have charter is not getting any of the cost.
That's correct.
So I understand better now.
Or if you don't take the video.
Right.
You're just streaming with the internet.
Are you in for five, Shelley?
Sure.
Mike, you need to make a motion.
Me?
Yeah.
I can make a motion that the township charges 5% as a franchise fees on the charter bill.
Effective when?
It'll probably be within 45 days.
How long's the contract?
10 years.
I support that.
Okay, we have support. Is there any further discussion? Probably better do a roll call vote.
Mm-hmm. Roll call. Amos?
Yes.
Boisbert, yes. Halt?
Yes.
Szymanski?
Yes.
Motion passes. Matt Soper is absent.
Before we leave today, we have to sign that form. I got to get it back to her from charter.
Okay.
Thanks for looking into all that, Mike. That was
quite
a packet of confusion.
Yeah, that was news to me how much this generates.
Okay, at this time, I need a motion to go into closed session.
I move that the board go into closed session to discuss options regarding Varnum Law and Newman Law.
Support. All in favor, signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Matt Soper's absent.
Get to use our new bathroom during a closed session.